Now, I've been talking today about a subject that we're now going to talk about. I'm so excited about this because I just think this sounds the best thing ever. Bee farming and an apprentice bee farmer scheme which has been launched. And I'm joined on the phone now by Margaret Ginman and also by Becky Marshall, who is the bee farmer apprentice. What a great title. But Margaret, a very good morning, if I can talk to you
good
first.
Good morning to you, Pamela, and to your listeners.
And to you. This just sounds the best job ever. Bee farming. Now, is there a difference between bee farming and beekeeping?
Yes, bee farmers make a living or a significant part of their living from keeping bees. And keeping bees is essential to the food on our plate, as we're all beginning to be aware of.
Well, I love the fact that you say here, when most people are asked, they'll, you know, what does a bee do? They'll say bees make honey, pollinate flowers, and that's it. But bees really do so much for us. Our ecosystem really wouldn't survive without them.
That is correct. And that's why bee farmers are absolutely essential in the food chain and for ecology in the world.
And we have been hearing over the years, the last few years, just a huge decline there's been in honeybees as well. Are we getting close to reversing that decline?
Well, that's one of the reasons that we've teamed up with Rouse Honey in order to attract young people into bee farming, making a career out of keeping bees so that we can increase the number of beehives in the country and increase the production of good old local honey, which we love to eat for breakfast. And we all love the golden honey dripping off our toast
stop.
In the morning.
Stop! Oh, and over the porridge.
Absolutely. And, porridge and honey. Who could beat it?
Well, there's a gentleman I know. He's a chef called Ian Orr, and he's a super chef. But, you know, he puts honey into nearly every single dish he makes.
It is such a versatile ingredient for chefs. So really, local honey adds a completely unique flavour to your recipes.
Even into chilies and savoury dishes, it just gives that certain something.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why we want to increase production of it. We only satisfy 14% of domestic demand in the UK, and we want to have more.
And we keep hearing of honey. It has seemed to have made a bit of a resurgence. And everybody's talking about Manuka honey now, and people are charging fortunes for Manuka honey, which comes in from New Zealand. But are the healing properties of our own local honeys as good as the Manuka honey is alleged to be?
Well, we at the Bee Farmers Association believe it is. However, we're not allowed to say so because it hasn't been proved. And it would be lovely if we could persuade our governments to study it properly and to find the real medicinal benefits of honey. Because when you think about it, man has used honey for 6,000 years for all sorts of things, from curing cuts to eating it.
Because I was had surgery some time ago, and unfortunately one of the wounds, this is a lovely discussion if anybody is eating their breakfast at the moment, but unfortunately one of the wounds became infected, and the district nurse came out to me and she said, use this, and it was a honey based antiseptic gel. And it's been the best thing. I've used it for all sorts of things, and she said it's the only thing. They were using it in the hospital and saying it's one of the few things they found can counteract MRSA.
Well, we need some research to prove that British honey has those sort of properties as well, as we really believe it has.
And people say that if you eat honey, say you have hay fever and you eat honey from your local area, it can help with the hay fever as well.
Again, we need research to prove that, although there's so much anecdotal evidence on that one. But this is the sort of things that we are bringing young people into the industry for, with the help of Rouse, bringing them into the industry to further research like this.
And it'd be fantastic if we could get the research done. I know all research costs money, but you've obviously got a passion for this. I love the fact you became so interested because as a journalist, you did an article and since then you're now on the General Secretary of the Bee Farmers Association.
Indeed, I represent the bee farmers at Europe and internationally, and indeed I'm also chairman of the Council of British Bee Farming Associations at the moment as well.
So you're a busy lady, and did journalism then just have to take a back seat?
Exactly. Afraid so. Bees took over.
Well, if I could talk now to Becky, because Becky is the bee farmer apprentice, Becky Marshall. Becky, a very good morning to you.
Good morning.
I am fascinated by this title. It could be a movie, The Bee Farmer's Apprentice. How did this come about for you?
My father's actually been a commercial bee farmer for over 30 years, been a member of the Bee Farming Association. So I kind of got into it through hearing it from him.
Now, I believe you travel the world in this role.
I do. I love it.
How does this come about? How does it work? I mean, you've travelled, as I say, all over the world, most recently Australia and New Zealand.
Yes. So the Rouse Honey Apprenticeship Scheme actually sends its apprentices over to New Zealand to learn different types of commercial bee farming from over there and then bring ideas back, because it's done so differently in every country.
Really? I would have thought it would have been sort of quite similar practices, but it is, I suppose, different climates, different conditions, etc.
Exactly, yeah, that's exactly it.
So what do you hope to do with this? Because, as you say, your father is a beekeeper, or bee farmer. So I would have thought somebody who was the daughter of a bee farmer would be actually going and spreading your knowledge to other parts of the world as well. Does it work both ways?
Yeah, it does. I mean, even when I was working over in New Zealand and Australia, I was working with people and, you know, they wanted something out of me as well as me giving, as well as me working for them. So I did quite a few talks around South Australia about how to breed queen bees, because it's something which isn't done commercially in South Australia.
And I was talking to Margaret there about the decline of bees in particular, and is that a worldwide phenomenon, or is it just something that's happened mainly because we've heard about it here in the UK and Europe?
Oh no, it's. I think it is a worldwide problem that in Europe, the decline has been really since the beginning of the 20th century, but now we are at around 200,000 hives in the UK. But we'd like to bring that up. And when you think about it, 30 new young people into bee farming will bring about another 100 hives per apprentice. So it's an awful big boost to the number of hives in the country by having this apprenticeship scheme.
Absolutely. And Becky, we're talking about the age group there and saying young beekeepers, because the average bee farmer, we do really associate bee farming and with something that people get into more as they finish their working lives and want to do something, and beekeeping and bee farming is a way to do it. So are people surprised when they meet you and as a younger person doing this as a job?
Yes, definitely. People are usually quite surprised and they ask me what I do and I come out with that.
Yeah, because I would just imagine, yes, what do you do? I'm a bee farmer. Right.
Yeah.
Is that the usual response?
Yeah, usually people don't believe me. So I whack my business card out.
And how do you get other people then involved? I mean, I would imagine, because talking to Margaret there once again, also Becky, you've got an enthusiasm for your subject and a passion as well.
Of course, I love doing what I do, and I'm really glad I made the change and have got involved in it. And we need so many more people. We're hoping to get 20 more people onto the apprenticeship scheme in the next few years.
And if your listeners are interested in it, they can find more information at the Rouse Honey / Be a Bee Farmer site. If they Google it, they'll
and that's
find all the details.
ROWSE, Rouse Honey, Be a Beekeeper.
That's it.
I'm going on. I love the sound of this. It's fantastic. And what about the apprenticeship, Becky? How long does this last?
It's a 3-year scheme. Mm-hmm. And over those 3 years, you go on several courses each year on every different aspect of bee farming, because there is so many.
Well, it sounds absolutely fascinating. I heard a great story. A friend of mine keeps bees, and he was telling me a story, and it's one of these sort of apocryphal ones, that where he said bees are supposed to have come from. It's when Jesus walked into the Sea of Galilee and came out and then shook his hands, and the droplets of the water flew off his fingers and turned into bees. But the devil was watching this and thought, that's a good trick. He went into the Sea of Galilee, came out, did the same, and the water drops flew off his fingers, and that's where wasps come from.
Lovely.
There
love
you go.
There's
And my colleague Lindy was telling us earlier this morning, she saved a bee yesterday because she said it was sitting on her patio just looking very, very lethargic, and somebody said, mix up sugar and water and put it down on the ground.
Yeah, well done, Lindy.
And the little bee came back back to life. It was just obviously needing a bit of a sugar rush.
Well, well done her.
So there we go. We're all lifesavers here on U105. Thank you so much indeed, ladies, for coming on to talk to me today. It is, I find it an absolutely fascinating subject. They're beautiful little creatures and the world would not be the place it is without them.
Thank you, Pamela. Thanks for listening, Pamela.
Thanks so much indeed, Margaret and Becky there. Bee farming, rousehoney.com/beabeekeeper. Go online and have a wee look and just see if there's any more information on it as well there. You could be a beekeeper as well.